Chippies in podcast land, welcome to Black and East Chick. I am your host, Rhett Thompson, and I am so very glad that you took this moment in time to download and check out this podcast. I want to send big ups to all you Chippies out there being all supportive and whatnot, hitting me up on the social media, hitting me up at Black and East Pod on Twitter at BlackAnEsePod. Also on email, blackandeastpod@gmail.com. And some of you want to be more direct. You hit me up directly at Rhett Thompson, RhettThompson. There's also a Facebook page, getting that together. And a website. Yes, I know. It's getting together. Look, I have to apologize to each and every one of you regarding the last episode, episode 39, Pimp Slap. Something went terribly wrong with the uploading. Okay, for those of you not familiar with podcasting, or maybe other people have different methods, this is how I do it. This is how I do it, guerrilla style. I'm sure there's a very fast, efficient way to do this. But pretty much, what happens is I record the episode, then it converts into an MP3 file. I upload it to my host, which currently is Podomatic, podomatic.com. You can see almost all my episodes are there. And from there, Podomatic will, host it, and all of these other services that host podcasts. So whether you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, I think there's a couple others I didn't even know they're out there. They were picking up my podcast. They pick it up. And I do manually upload on SoundCloud as well. So SoundCloud should have almost all the episodes as well from the beginning. That's how my workflow is. And then I promote the show, whatever. But for whatever reason, the last episode was supposed to be 57 minutes. I know 57 minutes because that's what the file said. But for whatever reason, it did not upload all the way. Actually, I do know what the reason is. Effing around with letting boop distract me. You can't let yourself get distracted by boop. I was trying to do too much at the same time. I'm trying to upload, trying to write liner notes and whatnot. My file is converting, and then I upload it. I hit save, but the file hadn't converted all the way onto Podomatic. So the initial file, so I guess if you downloaded originally, you probably only got about 19 minutes. I had people hit me up. Thank you, folks. especially the folks at Brothers Lehman, they got like a sports podcast. Made sure to check them out. They were like, yo, I was listening. It cut off. My bad. So I re-uploaded. I actually caught it. I re-uploaded onto Podomatic, so if you have access, I have the link up that is available. I think it takes a little bit for it to revise or update on Stitcher or iTunes, so I'll check and see if there's a way to like get that together. Because one of you chippies got at me. It was like, yeah, it was getting real good till minute 19, and then it cut off. I was like, oh. I guess that's a cliffhanger. No, it ain't no cliffhanger. This ain't Serial. Ain't no cliffhangers here. Only cliffhangers, me not knowing what's going to happen next in my life. Oh, how self-centered of me. So, look, I'm not going to lie. I don't know how this episode is going to turn out. I'm really tired from last night. I still have my clothes on from last night. This is currently, we are technically in the early hours of the morning. I should be sleeping right now, enjoying some type of REM sleep, some type of dream where I am floating and there are amazing colors and people involved. I am not because I felt like I had to unload this off on y'all. And let's see if there's no weird drops in this go around. Also, dude, just have to warn you. Look, I'm going to give you all I got. I'm going to give you all I got, but I'm going to let you know a storm is coming. Actually, no, it's not a storm is coming. A storm is here. There is a storm here, and it's weighing heavily on my mind. Not that kind of storm, actually. Literally, I live here in Miami, Florida. I think we are now in hurricane season because we've had some really crazy torrential rains. The rains kind of screw up the internet. The internet is what I record on, or the uploading, or whatnot. So, let's see how it goes. Let's see how digital I sound on this thing. So, my bad. Hashtag my bad. And plus, I'm really hungry. I'm really hungry. I think I should eat something. I want a steak. Anywho, look, just wanted to say big ups to all y'all chippies. Big ups to those who've given feedback. Also, big ups to that African chick, the African chick at my daughter's school who sold me this incense. This incense is banging. I think it's Indian incense. It's called Tulasi, but it's got different translations, like nine different languages. So apparently, this incense is sold cheaply all around the world from India. But I got this sandalwood burning. Oh my God, it smells so sexy up in here. So sexy. I just had to share that. I had to share that. So at least I feel good about that, even though I still got yesterday's clothes on. Look, last night, I guess I set the tone. I'm a performer. I perform stand-up comedy. I was asked to do this, do some time at this, I guess it's like a show slash open mic. It was like a booked portion and an open mic, and they open it up to folks. And it's the where it was located. It's a predominantly gay neighborhood in outside of Fort Lauderdale called Wilton Manor. I love Wilton Manor because you could tell this is where the gentrification is happening. This is like you can, because when you drive up on it, you're like, wow, a lot of these buildings are run down slash vintage, historic. You could tell this was the hood. This is the hood, and then the gays came in. Gays came in and said, you know what? We're gonna make something out of nothing, like a pioneer town. We're gonna make this something. And the people that are on meth or crack or heroin is like, you ain't gotta move into this neighborhood. We were doing just fine without y'all, with your gyms and your chai latte places and your nightclubs. Now, I love Wilton Manor. Wilton Manor, cool spot. I was so tired though, and I had committed to performing there several weeks ago, not knowing that I was gonna have this crazy beast of the day at my day job with them, quote, giving me talks and me, quote, needing to keep my job. So I gotta perform to a certain level. I've got to show them I want it. 'Cause mama got bills to pay. The struggle is real. I was so tired. I was like, let me take a nap before I go to the show, 'cause that's gonna be a drive. It's gonna take me about an hour and some change to get up in there. Plus, it's starting to be raining. Rainy season, people lost their mind. They don't know how to drive. Let me go take this nap. Try to take that nap. My daughter, the kid, was like, Don't lock the door, mommy, because I really want to watch cartoons. I was like, all right, I really want to take this nap, so I'm about to lock you out this room. We got two main good TVs. The TV that's in the family room was being occupied by my mother. She was watching some Dr. Oz nonsense. I needed to sleep. So I was like, my daughter is just gonna have to be watching Dr. Oz. Then I felt bad. I felt bad. I felt guilty. Started having working mother's guilt, first world problems. I haven't been around as much as I could be or should be. I guess it's more should. Could is physically impossible. I've been jumping back into performing full speed ahead. So pretty much that means I see my daughter very briefly in the morning, then she goes to school. I may or may not have to do my day job. I get home, I wolf something down, and then I'm out the door again until the next day where I see her briefly again. She goes to school, I go to my day job, I come home, I eat. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. So my daughter, I felt guilty about that. I felt guilty. See, only I think only in the Western I think only in Western civilization do women feel guilty about leaving their children for this. It's not like I don't not see her. Or as I not it's not like I don't see her. I shouldn't have said don't not, because then that cancels out. That's like two negatives turning to positive. Anyway, algebra. Not I'm not in the mood for that this early in the morning. Anyway, I think about this, I think part of the problem is you, okay, I grew up poor in Akron, Ohio. Yeah, you know it. I grew up poor, and my ideas of what making it is very much, or was very much, formulated by what I saw on TV and read in popular culture. Whole idea being as a woman, go to school, get a career going. You'll be able to get a nice house, picket fence, you'll be able to have these kids, you'll be able to provide all these opportunities for them, all these type of, if they want to do soccer or ballet classes or gymnastics or all of that, you could do all of that because you have, quote, made it. And you'll be able, but the thing is, what they don't tell you or they don't reveal to you is all of that is fairyland BS. Or, as I would like to say it, dreams that are provided for white people. Upper class white people aspirations. We playing two different games. We playing the same game, but I got a different playing piece. It would be like if we're playing Monopoly and they got the wheelbarrow or the car. No, they got the car with a V8 engine, and I have like the top hat. Like, how am I supposed to move this? A car has an engine. You got gas in it. You can go vroom vroom. You can zoom around this board real fast. Me, I got this top hat. I guess I'm just waiting for the wind to blow. Which way will the wind blow? So me, I didn't realize that yes, you can be real book smart, go to school, get yourself a job or something to pay the bills. You want to do all these classes and sports for your daughter, but you don't understand it takes time. Somebody's got to ferry this child back and forth to these things, and somebody's got to pay for lessons and uniforms and costumes. And somebody's got to take care of homework and clothes and food, and it's just not enough hours in the day. It's not enough hours in the day. And then the main thing, my main thing is I want my daughter to have a good childhood. I want her to have a good childhood. I want her to be able to take advantage of all the opportunities that I did not get to take advantage of. However, I find that because of my financial situation, it's not quite to the point where it could be or maybe should be. And I hope that I don't have regrets about that later on. Like early on, before I jumped back into doing stand-up, Because basically, I started doing stand up when I lived in New York. I got pregnant, and I was like, okay, let's move to Florida, because dude had relatives and family, and I always thought it was my destiny to move to Florida, even as a young kid. I was always drawn to being down here, and I love the water, and I felt at the time it was going to be very affordable to be down here, but because of being in Miami and my daughter was so young, I basically was out of the game for like 5 years. 5 long-ass years. On the one hand, every day it would eat at me. Why, how, coulda, shoulda stayed in New York. I'm seeing people I started out with pop up on TV. I was like, did I make the wrong move? But at the same time, I feel like my daughter had a good childhood. I was able to spend time with her. Even though I had a day job, I was able to spend time with her. We were able to do stuff. She had tap lessons and ballet lessons and decent enough childcare. When I went to work, we went to festivals and parades and whatnot. Now that I'm getting back into comedy aggressively, I feel like I'm shortchanging her on that. Shortchanging, like, am I not here enough for her? And now I realize, I think that that is definitely a problem that has been provided us, through the eyes of upper class white women, because they wrestle with that. If I look back at my childhood in Akron, so I grew up in a working class neighborhood. Working class slash lower upper, lower working class, upper poverty level neighborhood. So we had quite a few mothers who did not work. They were straight up on welfare. They were on welfare, so they didn't work. But most people had a little hustle on the side, though, whether they had a boyfriend or three trying to get some money, take care of their kids, or they had some type of little job, whether they worked at the grocery store. My mom was a housekeeper at a hotel. The quote, people that had money in my neighborhood were, I guess there was this dude, his dad was a sanitation worker. That's a good solid job. They got benefits. Good job, good job. I look at that and I think growing up, people were so busy scratching and surviving, they didn't have time to worry about, am I spending enough time with my kid? Because it pretty much was all about, we gotta work to survive. This isn't the time to be crying about, do I got time to be with you? Because I'm trying to make money so we have a roof over our head. And I don't remember ever having complaints about that. The only complaints I had, I did miss my mom when I would come home, latchkey kid. My mom wasn't home yet. I did miss her, but I knew I would see her eventually. But I understood that, hey, if I want to get a nice pair of shoes, she's got to make that sacrifice. I got to make that sacrifice too, and I understood that. Nowadays, I'm not so sure. I think because I've given my daughter these middle class surroundings. She goes to school with classmates whose mothers don't work. They are very traditional Latin slash Caribbean, more Latin, where the man goes out and works, the woman stays home, runs up the credit card bills. And they're there a lot at the school. I'm not there a lot at the school. And now I'm not there a lot at nighttime either. I don't know. I just gotta tell myself this is all going to pay off at the end. My main goal, my main concern is whenever I encounter situations, I ask myself, well, a couple of things. One, I truly have come to believe that children are happy when their parents are happy. If your parents are happy, you're going to be happy because there'll be peace in the household. Number two, and you know, well, and with that, what makes me happy is performing. Like, I have to perform. If I don't perform for a long time, it's like I'm a mess. And therefore, everybody gets the wrath. There's really a storm brewing there. But the other thing is, I just don't want to be laying in my bed when my daughter turns 16 and feel a bullet get into my head because she don't shot me in my sleep because I wasn't there for her. My mother wasn't there for me, so I had to shoot her in the head. Nah, I will come back and haunt somebody. I will haunt somebody over some nonsense, but we're trying to avoid that situation. We're trying to avoid that. All right, you still hanging with me? I don't know if the sound picked up, but this notebook I have just fell. Tonight, I'm supposed to perform. I'm supposed to perform in this spot that I was at last week in South Beach. I left my original notebook there. I hope I find it. I hope they still got it. I called, they said that they had it, but it's been a week. They might have thrown it in the garbage by now. I hope to God not, because that would really suck. That really, really suck. I'm very into, well, it's about my ideas is in there, all my notes from the podcast, from pretty much the beginning are in there. You know, a lot of material I wanted to work on, all in there. And I know that material-wise, it's not that expensive. I think I bought this at Walmart, like for like $8. How much was this thing? Was it? No, not even eight. It was $4.97, a $4.97 investment. But I feel like my ideas, I'm not going to remember every single thing that I wanted to work on, and it's all written there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. So when I performed last night in Wilton Manor, I had to crack out this new notebook and try to bang out some things. I wasn't sure how things were going to go last night because I was very tired. I was really tired. My daughter kept interrupting my nap, and I felt guilty about locking her out in my bedroom. So I was like, "Okay, come on, you can watch these cartoons." So, but you gotta keep the TV real low. She tried to keep the TV low, but she interrupted me. "Hey, that's Cyborg, and that's Beast Boy," because I was trying to feign interest. I mean, I was interested in the conversation. I was like, "I don't know who it is. I think Cyborg is cool." We was watching Cartoon Network. I was like, "Oh, who's Beast Boy?" "That's Beast Boy, mommy. That's Beast Boy." I was like, "Okay, you could just wait. You could just Google it later and show me a picture. You don't have to show me right now." I was so tired. I could not take that nap. Could not. And then I had to go. And then there was traffic. It was raining, and it was just bad, 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 bad. I'm hoofing it, hauling butt, to get up to Wilton Manors. And as soon as I parked, I ran into another comic. They were like, "Hey, they pretty much waiting for you." I was like, "Ah, crap." "They doing the intermission right now. They pretty much waiting for you." I was like, because I like to be professional. If you book me, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up, and I'm going to give you all I got. That's how I feel about. That's my philosophy. If you listen to this podcast, I'm not going to put out a crappy episode. I'm going to give you the best that I got. That's how this exchange works. If you give me your time, I'm going to give you my all. That's how that's my philosophy. So I hustled in there. I hated it that I was late. As soon as I got there, I had to get it together because I was about to go up on stage. And of course, by that time, people are like really drunk, or people are like rolling out, and you know, it's a different turn of events. You know, the bulk of the comedy show is over by that time. People are tired. I was like, you know what? No matter what happens, I have to tell myself mentally. I told myself when my car was all jacked up and I couldn't perform as regularly as I'd like. Look, when I go back out there, I'm going to maximize every opportunity. Even if it doesn't seem like it's anything, I'm going to perform each show like it's my last show on earth. Not to be dramatic, but sometimes you got to be in that mindset. I think it's too easy to wake up in the morning with complaints about life, what you don't got, how things are not perfect, how you wish you had this, this, and this. And I did find myself, when I was not performing, getting wrapped up into that. Oh, if I had more time, or if I had more money, I'd get my car together and I'd have my bills together and I'd be moving to a better place because I'm really not feeling the place that I'm living in right now. My landlord pisses me off. If I had more time, I would spend more time with my daughter. I could focus more on my writing. I could do the podcast. I could do this, this, and this. But I think it's too easy to fall down that spiral of what I don't have. And that energy just feeds on itself. It just feeds on it, man. And it will manifest like mold. It's like mold spores. It's like, where did this come from? This did not have, if it didn't have perfect conditions, but now you got one little black mold spot. If you don't be careful and dig it out, it'll take over your whole thing, your whole spot, and then you're gonna have nothing. So I told myself, no matter what, no matter what happens, no matter where it is, I'm gonna maximize every single opportunity. And that's what I did when I went to Wilton Manor. I was like, I'm just gonna perform. Like, y'all gotta switch gears and not worry about what ideas I don't have in my notebook. I got a new notebook. I gotta work it out. I gotta dig into the crates of my mind and figure it out. And I did good. I'm very happy. I'm very happy. And the audience was digging me. They was really feeling me. They told me they really enjoyed it. From what I understand, they can be very judgy. What? Lesbians and gay men can be judgy. What? Who knew? But I did what I do. I made it do what it do. And they enjoyed it and they asked me to come back. Would I come back? Of course I'll come back. I'll come back. Are you a lesbian? No, I'm not a lesbian. Ah, man. Let me share this with you. Same, like, what was it? 2 weeks, two episodes ago? 2 episodes ago, when I had kind of jumped back into telling y'all about the game and how getting back into the comedy, twice in the same night I was asked if I was a lesbian. First, I was asked by a man if I was a lesbian. I think it's because he was trying to kick really weak game on me. I was tired, so I wasn't in the mood anyway. And I guess he's a comic. I guess he probably has a really great heart. I'm sure that he's got a great heart, great personality. But I think whatever that situation was, mixed with beer or alcohol or weed or whatever he was doing, it wasn't coming out right. And I just wanted to focus on watching other people perform. And I guess he was being friendly. And I guess that was cool. But it was distracting me. And I get like, I'm the type of person, I really do not know when people are hitting on me. Yeah, I get really weird. Like, are they hitting on me? Like, do they like me? I don't know how to read those signals. Unless you are basically knocking it upside my head. I am generally oblivious to this. So I guess he was trying to, I guess he was spitting game, I guess. And then he asked me, oh, so you a lesbian? I was like, what? What? Just because I'm not giving you, I am paying you no mind, that automatically means I'm a lesbian. What? Because I'm too strong for you? I'm too strong of a woman? I'm too strong of a black woman for you? And so you automatically question my sexuality? Got really militant all of a sudden. And I was also asked by a woman if I was a lesbian. In that case, I was intrigued. I was like, what? She came up to me. I do this bit. I do some bits in my act where I talk about my love for large black men. I do love some, oh my God, like snack foods. If you a large black man, like I certain parameters though, certain parameters, but generally I've always had a thing for black dudes that look like linemen. You know, just big and black. Big black with a very short expiration date. You know you're gonna keel over with a heart attack by the time we 55, but I gotta be invested in this. It's like, ooh, I got, ooh, if you, ooh, especially a dark skinned black dude, oh, it is all dark, no, dark skinned black dude, dark skinned, tall, big black dude, not like sloppy big, you know, you gotta be put together. You look like, you gotta look like, you know, you still take care of yourself, all right? But ooh, dark skinned big black dude, oh snap, especially with a fade. Oh, it's on like Donkey Kong. Oh, look, so look, I ain't ashamed, dudes. Dudes will say in a heartbeat, oh, I like somebody with big titties and a fat ass. Well, I like a big black dude with a tight season. Oh, and if you are educated, oh my God, that is just, oh, you got a brain. You're intelligent. You're intelligent and your feet are bigger than mine. Oh, so what? Okay, big black dude, tight. See, oh, and if you, your teeth, amazing. Oh, I am a teeth person. I mean, obviously, you should have teeth. You know, that's one of the standards of beauty in our modern culture. But like, if your teeth are like, oh, like chiclets, oh my God, I'm like, this is too much. My head is about to explode. Anywho, this chick came up to me, and a black chick came up to me, asked me if I was a lesbian. She was a lesbian. She wanted to know if I was a lesbian. She knew I wasn't a lesbian. She knew I wasn't a lesbian. She was trying. I guess she was throwing game on me. I was intrigued. I was like, "What? I'm being hit on by a woman? What?" I am truly the Frida Kahlo of comedy. Two in one night, a man and a woman. What's that about? Clearly, my sexuality is all over the place. I am like, I don't know what kind of pheromones I'm emitting. You know, I've always identified as straight. I love a big black man. Oh, and if you got angst about society and how the man is oppressing you, oh, it's on. She came up to me and she was like, look, I know that you said you like big black dudes, but I ain't trying to recruit or nothing, but I'll never get you pregnant. I was like, oh, this is interesting. And she, the thing is though, she was like a little bit shorter than me. She was shorter than me. She was stocky. I guess she would be considered more butch, not femme. She was butch, and dark skin. She had the smoothest skin. I swear to God, because you know she did the air kiss, and I was like, oh my God, her skin is like ridiculous. What is this? What is this shea butter? What is this? No, but she had dreadlocks. She had dreadlocks. I'm sorry. I don't be feeling the dreadlocks. That's not my thing. I mean, I've seen people with amazing dreadlocks. For me, not a thing. Not that I was going down that road, but you know, her whole thing is like, look, I know you're not like big black dudes, but like, you could just imagine me as like a Division III football player. D3. Didn't get a top 10, a Big Ten scholarship. Division three. She walked me to my car, safest I've ever felt. yeah, man. She had some swagger, though. I was like, well, all right. Nah, she had dreads. I'm sorry, that's just not my thing. I can't have a dude or a chick whose hair is more amazing than mine. I'm sorry, I'm very selfish like that. Selfish and self-conscious. We can't be sharing the same conditioner. Oh, snap diggity. So, I'm just hoping I get my notebook back. Hope I get my notebook back. Hope everything just keeps on plugging along. Hope all is swell with this episode. I think this is a good time to end this, to wrap this up. I just had this. Oh, no. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. No. Last night I did good. Oh, this is what I wanted to say. See, I ain't even had my coffee. I usually have 4 cups of American coffee. I ain't had my coffee yet because I'm so focused on going back to bed. Anyway, oh, no. I did good. I did good at Wilton Manor. And this couple tipped me. Tipped me $5. I was up on stage. They gave me $5. I was like, oh, well, thank you. And they didn't mean that in a mean way. They was like, we dig your show. I hope you come back. And I was touched. I was really, really touched. Really touched by that. I love hearing feedback from the audience. I love it when people get what and understand what I do. Because I feel like, I guess validation, is that validation? That's probably not the right word, but I feel appreciated. I love feeling appreciated by my audience. And money doesn't hurt. Money don't hurt. I appreciate the gesture. I appreciate the gesture. I feel like it's a small win, but a win is a win. I'll take it. Now, I think this is a good time to wrap it up. I just feel like, I want to say this. When I tell you all of this, it's not to be braggadocious about myself. It's just to let you know that whatever them small wins in your life, you should take them too. I don't know if yours is monetary. Maybe somebody buying you a donut and coffee. I don't know. Sounds small, but no matter how rough things are, there's some things that happen that are there, I truly believe, to remind us that it's we doing the right thing. It's we doing the right thing. All right, now finally we're wrapping up. Okay, so hit me up on the social media. Let me know what you think. Remember, there's no me without you. Until next time, see ya!